of the Red Hooks, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to see at the beginning of my second talk here tonight on the exalted theme of the Godhead subject, the strange inconsistencies of my bewildered opponent. The first thing that bothers him is a little humor. I'm called the comedian debater. This is always a retort when you cannot answer the questions and the doctrinal dilemmas you find yourself in. Then the only thing you can do when people make a laughing stock out of you is try to say that you're too dignified to laugh. Well, I never did believe the good Lord put a laugh in us and then took a stick and dared us to laugh and hit us over the head. I just believe in a good humor discussion, and I'm glad he said a couple things funny there. He didn't preach any truth. In fact, there wasn't a grain of truth in what he said, and I watched him all along. Even when he's quoting scripture, you have to watch him real close. I think any of you Church of God men could have done a better job than Brother Reynolds doing up here. Why don't you just do it, not have him come up here? But I'm glad he's here because he's making it exciting. All right, let's look at a few of his comments. The last statement by E.J. Reynolds in his second affirmative address tonight was that there is no verse, nor can anyone prove, that the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus Christ. Now,
I want my chart up here, sir.
I'm going to show you why he said that. Mr. Reynolds is in a whole heap of trouble. He is going to have ulcers after this one. I'm going to tell you folks something. My spirit of discernment works. Brother Reynolds came up here on an ego trip, but he's already deflated. Now, can I get out? Let me show you something. The Father of Jesus is the question. If the Father and Holy Ghost are two separate and distinct persons, Jesus had two fathers. The Father is the Father of Jesus. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Romans 15:6 says that Jesus is the Son of the Father. All right? The Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus. Luke 1:35. That which is in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1:20, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Now, Mr. Reynolds, Brother Reynolds, and I almost called him Mr. Dan on purpose because he inferred that there was a moral inference here involving the person of the Godhead, that Father Jesus. Now, let me just clarify this error because we United Pentecostal people believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That's why we believe His Father was a spirit and not a person. If His Father were a person, He's not virgin born. You're the one that has a problem. Now you better not do it. Come on, hold it. Fame be loyalty. All right. That which is conceived in way is not the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, Brother Reynolds, there's no use going on a lot of this. How much? Would you just stand and tell us which one of these persons, the Father or the Holy Ghost, is the Father of Jesus Christ? You can do it on my time. Just call the name of which one, the Father or the Holy Ghost, which one? See, you see, that which is in Mary was of the Holy Ghost. So the only sensible, I'm being very serious, the only sensible conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, you can come to, is that this Holy Ghost is the Father that Joel said in the last days, I'll pour it out, and it was called the Holy Ghost. Did he touch that? He didn't touch my side of the bottom of it. What this man taught you tonight is as far from the truth as the North Pole is from a goose nest. Are you glad of that? You want to do it? All right. Now, I'm going to give him my time. Well, isn't that generous of me? I mean, why try to establish... He has his scholar here, doctor. I'm not going to make fun of your DD. I wish I had a PhD and an LTD. You know, somebody said that they have an LTD and a PhD and a DDD, and still I'd have a JOB. Not me, got a JOB. I'm hungry. I may not be a DD, but I'm up here. And I'll tell you what, you don't have to know the Greek and be a doctor of philosophy and doctor of divinity to know which one of these was the Father of Jesus Christ. All right, which one was the Father of Jesus, Brother Man?
You're the one
that's
got the problem
with you. No, you got the problem. No, I'm not the problem. You're the one that sounds like two distinct persons. You said now that there are two separate and distinct persons in the Godhead. Did you do it? Now, You probably don't need to call me now. I'm perfectly in order. I can stand here and beg you for my 30 minutes to answer it. And if you can't answer that, you call this debate. Laughing on the outside and crying on the inside. Remember that over here? All right. I bet he's all right. Jesus had either two fathers. He said they're separate and distinct. Did he say it? Did the proposition say the Father is one separate person and the Holy Ghost is another person? Now, you know why he won't say which one is the Father, Jesus? I'm telling you. All he has to do is stand up and say, the Father. Or stand up and say, the Holy Ghost. How that simple is it? Now, which one would you do? Just say, the Father or the Holy Ghost? Wait. No, you got the problem. If you know where I'm going, that's why you're silent as an oyster. Now. Person. You wouldn't and God wouldn't. And you know it. Come on, EJ. We're down now. Pastor Donovan. Which one? What about us?
You're trying to work the problem out. Do it.
I don't have no problem. His father was the Spirit. The Lord shadowed Mary. That Spirit was the Holy Ghost. John 3:28. That's not my problem. You got the problem. You got two separate distinct fathers. About some other things. Well, you know, I'm going to
ask me one of your questions tomorrow night.
Oh, he needs 24 hours. He needs 24 hours. Did you hear me, J. Reynolds, promise me he would answer that question that I put the wrong verse in? He didn't do it. I told him what verse it was, which, how many persons did they got in? Did they see when they saw both the fathers? He didn't touch them.
No,
he won't do it. These fellows jump around and see a third job and come up and expose not only what they do, but what they don't do. Their silence is conspicuous. And he turned around and he felt like I was speaking to me. He said, yeah. So whether Reynolds will know it from denial or then he can answer tomorrow night. I don't know about any more of these years. The Father, John 4:24, is the Holy Ghost, Joel 3:28, that overshadowed Mary 1:35, and thus we have the God man, not two persons. Now, he said it's my problem, though I've already got the answer to it. I'm asking you, which of the persons is the Father Jesus? Well, he's not. Go on. No more church to God. Take it away, fellas. You won't do it. I never saw anything like that since I was in the baby. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I didn't see anything. If anybody let me do that, you want to take a step down, I understand. Only thing I know he'd do is shoot me. He's not going to do that because God loves God in his heart. And you church God folks don't need to hate me. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to love me and go in front of Reynolds tonight and ask him to explain it to you. Make him talk all night. God Lewis couldn't do it. Johnny Ramsey can't do it. E.J. Reynolds can't do it. And he gets up here and says the Lord meets him and anoints him to preach like that. Paul, watch out of me. I don't think God anoints a man to preach and he is in division. I don't think God would anoint a man to preach something that's true from the Bible because he has the Holy Ghost. I recognize that. But God's not going to anoint a man to preach false doctrine.
All right.
And you couldn't see him now, you know good where you could. All right. Hebrews, I've got another question. Why did God pray to God? And you see, ladies and gentlemen, we believe Jesus prayed, but he prayed as the Son of God, never as the Father. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:7, in the days of his flesh, having offered prayers, he prayed in his flesh as the Son. You see, Brother Reynolds, what you don't know is that the Son, Jesus slept, he ate, he prayed, he lived, he suffered, he died. As the
as the Father.
He raised up the dead and calmed the sea.
Where you got your three guns on. I'm going to hook you up with a Roman Catholic right now.
because it is a supernatural mystery. We do not attempt to explain the doctrine of the Blessed Trinity. We are content to know that the Catholic Church teaches it. The mystery of the Trinity is the very foundation of the Roman Catholic religion. And it begins and ends with the sign of the cross, the Christ and every Mass. We are reminded that the holy sacrifice is offered to three persons in one God. The divine offices, too, are in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And all the Catholic sacraments are conferred in the name of the three divine persons. Johnson's New Universal Encyclopedia, Volume 2, Part 1, page 286. The word Trinity is not found in the Scriptures, and it says it has been first used by Theophilus, Bishop of Antioch, in the 2nd century. Cain's Encyclopedia, page 53, quote, the latter development of the Trinity, and afterward they were baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. New International Encyclopedia, volume 22, page 476, quote, the doctrine of the Trinity is not found in fully developed form of the Scriptures. At the time of the Reformation, the Protestant Church took over the doctrine of the Trinity without serious examination. Here's the way it came from, I tell you where it came from. Encyclopedia Americana, volume 27, page 69, the doctrine of the Trinity is nowhere expressed in the Old Testament. The doctrine of the Trinity was adopted by the Catholic Church and is accepted by all the Christians. The word Trinity is not in Scripture. The term person is not applied in Scripture to the Trinity. It was only, however, after a severe and protracted conflict that this definition became generally accepted. What was this for the Christian Church? Quote, the Christian thought at the beginning of the 2nd century the Holy Spirit was differentiated from Christ and classed like Him with God. This appears in the Trinitarian baptismal formula, which was displayed in the older baptism in the name of Jesus. Then he went to John 1:1, and he'll stay out there, and he's going to be a friend of God. As you heard him told in the beginning, was the word for us was with God. Now that seems to be his PowerPoint right there, but there's a little bit more than that. It's from his good old finger. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was for God. Now think, if any of you school children debating about that thing, which is that one? He said that in the beginning, who was that with God? It was the Word. Yeah. All right, he said it was the Word. I don't care if you call it the Logos or the Word, but the expression of God, call it what you will. But let me tell you about this. Brother Reynolds, you are a person. You have a Word. Is your Word a separate person from you? He won't answer it.
No.
Brother, I can't make him answer. The man won't answer a thing. Now, he said that the Word is a separate person from the God. Now, I'm asking him, is this Word another person from him? Well, hallelujah. God, have mercy. How many of you, ladies and gentlemen? You didn't go back to Job, did you? But then when he went back to the 8th chapter of the 3rd chapter of Job, you know, now I've heard didn't the man get up here and say that he wasn't accepting persons secretly? He was doing it in the open. Now, aren't you glad to change that man to say that? If that isn't ridiculous,
come on.
It's okay to sin openly. Just don't sin secretly. That's what he said. It's okay to have a person publicly, openly, but just so I don't do it secretly or privately. Tell him it. You know me. Should we let him off of that one or just hold him? All you Church of God people, I want you to go home and you look in that good book and you read Job 13:8 and look at verse 10 where it says the Lord will reprove you if you secretly accept persons, and you can't tell me there's one bit of difference in the secret sin and the open sin.
Right.
I'll say it's wrong and it's sin and it's idolatry to worship more than one person in God.
Turn to John 8th chapter. He went there, and that's the last place he said, this man amazes me. He goes to the last place he ought to go. But he sure makes it easy for us.
Yeah.
John 8 chapter, he says, why, Brother Hickson says, Jesus came forth from the Father. So that's supposed to prove. Well, let's look here and see that Jesus came from God.
Of course, we read the Son came from the Father.
I'm told you all along that any time you see Jesus and the Father mentioned, you're talking about the flesh and the spirit. All right? So the Father can send the Son. That doesn't bother us. But he says, God sent Jesus, so that means there are two, and that means Jesus existed before, or he could have been sent.
But what about John? There was a man sent from God, his name was John. Now that's the baby, brother. How would you do it, brother? That's the baby. How would you do it, brother? Now, he said the Spirit sent the Son. That doesn't prove he had a body before Bethlehem, no more than John had a body before he was born. Because John was a man sent from God. So why are you gentlemen, you scratch that one off. On the record, John 8. He says, John 8 is this chapter. Let me show you what you'll find in John 8, verse 24. Jesus said, except he believe, I am he. He shall die for me.
I'm talking such a bad fish, he's just a 50 in 24 hours. So now listen, you get up and say, that means Jesus is the God. Is that true? Look at verse 27. And then you know that he spake the realm of the Father. Now, Brother Reynolds, Jesus said in John 8, 24 to 27, that you have to believe the Father, or you're going to die in your life.
And I will look up here like a that's the word of Jesus Christ that comes out of here. You can say, I'm not giving you the Bible all you want, but that's in the book. Except you read about me, the Bible of his, and the new life, and faith in the name of the Father. So, that is not sure. That's right. He's on. He's on. He's on. All right. Yes. The scripture that he said is that not, I thought I was going to put you out. Revelation 15. And he said, hold on, man! And he went ahead and put it into the hall up to the right, and he came up and talking about the man taking a look out ahead and giving this letter on the throne. You know, that's the problem with Brother Reynolds not denying himself, sir. Let me tell you what happened. The Bible says in Revelation 5, the lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed over the book. And the lamb came and took his oath. So, did the lion and the man get to fight over which one to open the book? You've never seen that before, have you, brother? The lamb opened it, but the lion prevailed over it. The description of the attributes of God. The deity and the sacrifice. The strength and the weakness. The heaven and the earth. That which was heavenly and that which was earthly. The heaven and the way. The lion, the conqueror, and the lamb were crucified. Something else here about he says, Brother Hickman, not so that the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that I have done that. Now, he brought out another thing here about the one mediator. The word mediator means the middleman or the go-between. Now, my friend's position says this for the sentence through five. He said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man in Christ Jesus. Now, Galatians 3:24 again said, our mediator is not a mediator of one, but that is one. You see, he doesn't just quote what verses they want to quote. If he says this to establish the Trinity, then you have to say, God is a man. And Jesus is a man. So you see, he won't say God is a man, because the Bible says God is not a man. And so since the Bible says God is not a man, then this law of the mediatorship does not apply to the Godhead. Because Paul said in Galatians 3:20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now that's what it says. It's codified. Many gentlemen, a mediator must have at least two parties to serve as go-between. A lot of mediators have two or more parties to a middleman. God is not two or three or more parties. God is not three parties. God is one. It is the man, Christ Jesus, not the God, Christ Jesus, who is the mediator. It was God and the man, Christ Jesus. All right, 5 minutes to go. Let's pick up a few of the appropriate preferences here before we conclude on the above of the Godhead. All right?
That we believe that Jesus is nothing but God, and hence not human in any respect. 1 John 4:3 says, who confesses not that Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, before that means for the Lord, is coming to death in human terms. Now, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was God, was made flesh. You see, that person was made to God, coming on the path of power, Jesus Christ. My God, my God, why has Paul forsaken them? Was God forsaking God? According to the real God, is a God. Was he forsaken according to the real God, mighty God? No, Paul didn't forsake that, but the Spirit was the direct. All right, Jesus is going to get to the body without the Spirit's help, so that they can have a dead man hanging on the cross. Go back to the last place. You don't understand that, sir. Jesus had a human spirit, and how was it all there? And the divine spirit was such that in Christmas, was there was sin that was kept alive on the human spirit, and he could say, into their hands, I'll come in my spirit and is not kept alive, and gave us the ghost, and the way faith is not kept alive. You have the Holy Ghost on a human spirit, and you also have the spirit of God. How do you think God? Jesus is not me. He had a human spirit as well as a divine spirit. All right. And what is that the birth of the Godhead? And we don't read these personal texts. We don't read through the word. We read the Son prayed to the Father. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, how about this, gentlemen? So, here, I'm going to bring this to a conclusion. I got about 25 more things I must say here, but we'll continue another time. But did he say that his doctrine is coming forth for Jesus, the second person? Come and forth with the Father of the Heavenly. And it says, come and do remember, I'm not going to 28, where Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. Now, how did they get called to the Holy Spirit? Not only that, all the church that is committed to the Son, and there was a faith of the Son of his Son. So you see, you've got to come forward of a Father, confuse the other when you don't understand it, this is the good God. I'm trying to teach you what God's word is about. I got more. I'm going to say that. That's my word today.